Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, let's just enjoy the presence of the Lord right now. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to tonight's show. I am one of your hosts, Tanisha, the other host. My sweetheart will be joining us shortly. We're glad that you are here tonight. We're glad to be here. Excuse me, a lot of exciting things have been happening on PGN. If you've been tuning in, hopefully you have been, but if not, then I highly recommend that you go back into the archives and listen to some of the past shows since, I want to say the 8th, when Queen Elizabeth passed. It's just been turning up here on PGN, so I'm excited to be a part of this network and a part of the revelation that God has been giving us as a body of Christ, and so glad that you are a part of it too, because we're part of something special here at PGN. I will say that God is definitely going to use us to have a big impact. You know, just because we are a small network doesn't mean that we can't have a mighty punch, because even when you think about how the Bible is surrounded by, or it surrounds the story of the children of Israel, and Israel is the smallest nation, but look at the impact that people from that small nation have had, and the fact that we have a whole word of God inspired by the people from it. So our other host is here.
Oh, hello, hello.
Such an honor. Enjoy to be here.
Great. Yeah, Blake. I'm Terrence, the other half. You're here the best half first, but, you know, we're here. Apologize for missing last week, but this has been a month in which the Lord told me that something miraculous is going to happen. And as you can see, some shifting and some changing has been going on. And I'm just grateful to be able to hear from God and have an expectation of what God is doing that we are yet to see. I really don't have much tonight, because I really want to pray for like everybody, because I know the past few weeks we have to like just do area code or prefixes, and we've been doing that a minute. But however Nisha wants to do it, we'll go that route, but that's just what's in my spirit.
Excuse me, we could do it however I'm open to it. But before we pray tonight, just want to encourage you to really get into your word and understand what's going on in our world, the times that we live in, because none of this is a surprise to God, and none of it is a surprise to us who read our word. You know, God is faithful to us, and God lets us know not only what goes on in our personal lives, but what's going on in the world that we are in. Right, because we're not in this world. We're in this world. We're not of the world. And so, why are we here? Right, we are here on assignment to advance the kingdom of God here on the earth. Mm-hmm. And so, just like, let's talk about the military. Right, parents within the military. Some of you listening were in the military. I was not in the military, but I come from a military family. And just being the nerd that I am, I study a lot of different things. And one thing about the military, when they send you over for a mission in a different country, they give you the information about the country, right? They tell you about the customs of the people, the terrain of the land, the temperatures. All, like, they give you a lot of information so that you're able to be effective where they send you. Am I right or am I wrong? Okay. So we are here on assignment from God. So God is telling, he's going to tell us about what's going on. And part of the conditions is knowing what's going on in the time that we're in, right? Those of us who are alive now, right, because nobody's listening from beyond the grave, right? So we're all alive on this side of eternity. And that means that we're called for this time. We're called for it. We're built for it. We're designed for it. God had us in mind for it. When he put Adam and Eve in the garden and knew what was going to happen and all the stuff that was going to have to take place for us to be redeemed to him and for, you know, Satan and his demons and those who follow him to finally be defeated in the end. He knew all everything that was going to take. He knew how it was going to all pan out and that he was going to need his people, his ambassadors, his representatives in the earth to do his work, right? So he had you in mind for this time. You could have been around for the King David times. You could have been around, you know, during Noah's time or Moses or any other time, but this is the time that God assigned for you. So when he was planning all these things and making all these things work out with the end goal, you were planned for now. But you got to do the work too. You got to do the research. You got to read. Because it's one thing if the military gives you orders to say, hey, we're sending you over to, you know, Brazil or whatever, and they give you a pamphlet and say, okay, here's all the information that you need to know about Brazil. And you don't read it, and then you get over there and things are not going the way that you should, you know, think that they should go, or, you know, you're having hiccups and all this different stuff. Well, you didn't read to know how to operate, to know how the people are, to know what the customs are and all that kind of stuff. That's on you. You still got to do your part. They supplied you with the information, but you didn't read it. So it's not that you didn't have the information. You just chose not to read the information. And the same thing is true for us as believers and our word, right? We got to know what's going on during for this particular time, right? We got to know about the end times because that's what we're living in. We're living in the end times. So if you haven't been tuning into the Book of Revelation shows, I highly suggest that you go into the archives and listen to them. I mean, it's the most, for me, I get it. She breaks it down so beautifully about the Book of Revelation and what to expect. Start to study the Book of Revelation. Ask God to send you to whatever resources or, you know, that's going to help you to understand. Because I know a lot of people's complaint is that it's hard to understand because of the symbolism and all that kind of stuff, which I completely get. But we can't just say, well, too hard, bye-bye. You know, just because it's hard don't mean it's not for you to do and that it can't be accomplished. And we know that if we ask God in prayer, you know, we receive what we ask. You think he doesn't want you to know what's going on? Like, oh, no, I don't want you to understand the Book of Revelation. That's why I put it there. No. I want you to understand it. How much more should we understand it than those who have come before us, those who are in the end times? How much more should we understand what's going on so that when we start to line things up to say, oh, wait, this is what happened here. Well, wait, this is what God said here. It's for us to do it so that we are not afraid, so that we are still bold, so that we can trust God even more. Because when things start shaking in the world, sometimes people start to lose faith, right? They start to lose trust. But if things are shaking in the world and God has already told us those things were going to shake in the world, then now we trust them even more because we're like, no, we already knew this. God, you told us this, so we don't have anything to fear. And now we're even more confident. We, as believers in the end times, need to be even more confident than, you know, believers of yesteryear. Because we're going to have real threats made against us as far as the way that we live and buying and trading and that kind of thing. These are things that, you know, it's one thing to read about. It's another thing when they say, hey, if you don't do this, and we're going to cut off your money or we're going to snatch your house or whatever the case may be, right? So we got to really be firm in our faith to be able to say, I don't care what you do, right? We really got to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to say, I don't care what you do, King. We want you to know that even if our God don't save us, we still ain't doubting. Because that's what happens in the end times. All these things that take place, that transpire, it's a form of bowing down. Because something's going to be at stake. In Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's case, what was at stake was their very lives, right? Nobody's going to be thrown in the fire just to, you know, be taught a lesson. Like, no, they're trying to end them, trying to take their entire life. So things, when things are at stake, people respond normally in fear, or they respond in a way to preserve what's at stake, because normally they're going to put something at stake that is valuable to you, right? Nobody's going to pick a rock off the ground and say, if you don't do this, I'm going to throw this rock back on the ground. Who cares? But they say, hey, if you don't do this, we're going to take your job. We're going to take your livelihood. We're going to mess with your kids. We're going to do this, that, and the other. Now people might dance to their tune. Excuse me. But if God has already told us, so we know we're on the winning side, so it doesn't matter what they take or what they do, then we're going to stand firm in our faith. And we're going to continue to do the work that he's assigned to us and know that we are going to be protected. Because I really feel God has been preparing us as a body for what's to come, right? I know a lot of Christians, a lot of believers, true believers, have been taking an interest in buying land or growing food, right? Getting back to the basics on how to create electricity, all sorts of like basic things that our technology is well beyond. Like, what would you need to learn how to do that for? Well, maybe because we're going to need to know how to do it. A lot more believers are going more towards vegetarianism and veganism, just eating fruits and vegetables. Why? Now, it's probably, you know, probably healthier for you, but maybe because we're going to get to the point where that's the type of food we're relying on because we're only eating what we grow. You know, God has a reason for all these things. So be in tune with what the Lord is telling you to do, even if it doesn't make sense now, right? Because even like during the pandemic, I told y'all this story before where a guy God told him to buy a hand sanitizing company, a sanitation company, and it was not doing good. So he's like, maybe I heard wrong, you know, maybe this is not what God told me to do because I bought this company and I'm producing this stuff and nobody's buying it and it's not going nowhere. I'm losing money. And then the pandemic hit and remember hand sanitizer was flying off the shelves. You couldn't find hand sanitizer. People was in the store fighting. It was like Black Friday every day, right? They were treating hand sanitizers like a $22 50-inch TV. Like they wanted it and they were fighting over it. And boom, business took off, shot through the roof. It didn't make sense at the time, right? But he still did it. And then it really didn't make any sense when it was costing more money than it felt like it was worth. But still kept it, right? And then boom. It made sense. So it's like, just do what God is telling you to do. It might not make sense right now, but 2 years from now, 3 years, four, five, six, next month, next Tuesday, whatever timing, it will make sense. Mm-hmm. It's just important for us to be obedient, especially in these times, because God is setting up, you know, he's having us to sow the seeds now to crop a harvest when we need the harvest. I believe even that's why a lot of believers right now are feeling the push to get their bodies together to be healthy. Right? No more just sitting up eating bags of chips and pizza and all that. Like he's pushing us to really be in good health. We're going to need our health. We're going to need our strength. We should always be in good health. Every believer should have been in good health from the first one to whoever raptured last. But it's even more important now for whatever reason. God knows. So let's just do what God is calling us to do. Let's push past whatever's holding us back, which is the mentality, right? Because it's always mental. Let's push past it and let's just be obedient and let's just do what God calls us to do and stop trying to make sense of everything. Because it might not make sense today. Because God didn't say, you know, your obedience is, you know, hinged on it making sense. So he wants your obedience. It don't have to make sense. Terrence and I were talking earlier, and he was talking about when Abraham was Abram, and he just said, follow me. That didn't make sense. He didn't even know where he was going. He didn't give him no yellow brick road or nothing, just said, follow me. He had no clue where he was going, but he did it. And we're still talking about it to this day. It made no sense for Noah to build an ark. Never had rain, and then it was years. People think Noah built the ark in like a few months. Oh, no, it's believed it was like 120 years it took to build that ark. And can you imagine the teasing and the ridicule that he endured during that time? People calling him tinfoil hat crazy because he's building that ark and just dry as a bone for 100 and something years. And he's like, it's going to rain. And he's preaching. Noah preached. Don't get it confused. Read your word. The guy said Noah preached to the people. He was a preacher. So you know he was looking street corner crazy, preaching to them people about some rain, and it ain't never rained. They're like, what? It was very much giving aluminum foil in the windows and antennas on the roof. But he did it anyway. And then at the right time, it made sense. But to those who did weren't heeding the warning, it didn't matter that it made sense at that point because they were already done for. But not us. We're not going to be done for. We're going to follow the call. We're going to do what God has purpose for us to do as a body of Christ. That's what we choose to do, right? It's a choice. Say, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. But we have to make up in our mind that that's what we're going to do. And not put any type of stipulations on it. Well, I'm going to follow you, Lord, as long as it's easy. I'm going to follow you, Lord, as long as it's convenient. I'm going to follow you, Lord, as long as it makes sense. I'm going to follow you, Lord, as long as I don't get ridiculed. No, we can't do that. We got to make the choice to just do it, period. Because that's what God wants us to do. And we have to trust that God protects us. And that they, no matter who, what label they're under, they don't have any power over us. Just like King Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't have no power over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was the most powerful man in their world. The most powerful. He was the king. So it didn't get no more powerful than that. And he telling them, you're going to do this or I'm going to do that. And they were like, nah, we ain't doing that. That's the type of faith we need. That's the type of boldness we need. That's the type of willingness that we need in these end times. But how were they able to stand up to King Nebuchadnezzar? Because they trusted God. That's why. You're not going to face the threat of death if you don't trust God. That's the ultimate threat, right? Because we're even designed to cling on to life on this side of eternity. That's what people do. They fight for their lives. So that's the ultimate, that's like the worst threat. And some people going to fold and they going to threaten their job. They'll fold. I've seen people fold, threaten their job. Job tell them to do something completely unethical, ungodly, and they'll do it because, well, I got to eat. I got kids. That's a lack of trust. That's all I hear. It sounds like Charlie Brown mama, wah, 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 wah. But what I'm hearing is I don't trust God. Well, I had to do this because wah, 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 I don't trust God. That's the translation. So in order for us to do the work that God has assigned for us during this time, we have got to trust God. And maybe that's something that you're working on, but work on it. It's okay to admit that you're a little shaky. Because we can pray for that. You can pray for that. You can ask for that. But that's what we need. We need to be obedient no matter what. We need to cut off all the stipulations. I'm obedient only if. Nope, I'm going to be obedient. Do what God called me to do, period. Because that's what God has called me to do. And we got to trust God. Because when we're faced with situations that are in direct opposition of our obedience, are you going to say, I ain't doing that? Are you gonna fold? You trust God, you're gonna continue to do it. So you need both. You gotta be obedient, you gotta trust God. Because you're gonna have your assignment is always gonna be tested and even rattled, right? The enemy's always gonna try to rattle you to try to get you off course, off track. But when you have faith in God and you trust God, that's the push. That's where the boldness comes in. That's where the stand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took a stand, right? They said, no. They took a stand. I'm not doing it. Because Nebuchadnezzar could have sent one of his men to tell them, look, the king said, but he said, I'm telling, bring them to me. I'm telling directly because he just knew that once he said it, they was going to do it, and they still did. They took a stand. And a lot of the times in your faith and in your walk and in your purpose and in your destiny, you have to take a stand to say, no, I'm doing this. I think of when Terrence and I first started doing the show and all hell was breaking loose all around us. There was many times where it would have made sense to say, you know what? Too much going on right now. Can't do this. But we took a stand. To say, I don't care what's going on. This is what God has called me to do right now. He didn't say do it when you're more comfortable. He didn't say do it when you're not dealing with all this other chaos. He said do it now. And so we did. And we have both grown tremendously. And God has used it to bless people. God has used it to sow seeds. God has used us to cultivate and edify. Because we took a stand to say, enemy, I don't care what kind of havoc you're, you know, letting loose. We're not going to bow down to it. We're not going to go in the corner and cry, oh, my boo-boo, my life's so, you know, chaotic right now. I can't do anything but just focus on this. We refuse to bow down to the circumstances. And took a stand and say, no, I'm still doing what God calls me to do. I don't care if that circumstance takes me down. I don't care if that circumstance swallows me up. I'm still going to do what God called me to do. And guess what? The circumstance don't even matter no more. It's gone. That was and now it's not. Time marched on. And God has blessed us. And so you have to be willing to take a stand for what God has called you to do. The enemy always going to try to come and get you off course. Oh, no, you can't do that because this, that, you got all this going on. And blah, 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 blah. It's a bunch of gibberish. You say, no, I don't care what people said. I don't care what it looks like. I'm not bowing down to my feelings. I'm not bowing down to the madness. I'm not bowing down to fear. I'm not bowing down to what they say. I'm taking a stand because this is what God has assigned for me. This is what God has called me to do. And you do just that. And God will bless you. He will bless you.
Yes, he will.
God is blessed. We're blessed. All of us, we're blessed. You got to say that every day. I'm blessed. Yes. I'm highly favored. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the Most High. I'm a representative of the kingdom of Christ. I am the head and not the tail. Protected and bought by the blood of Jesus. And I will not bow down.
And I will not bow down.
You got to speak over your life. Because that's what you're fighting. You're in a fight every day. Where we wake up, every day we open our eyes, it's a blessing, and then we are in an immediate battle. Enemy wants your faith. He wants your destiny. He knows he can't have your soul, right? So he tries to kill, steal, destroy everything else. But you take a stand every day and say, I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to give in. I'm going to take a stand and do what God has assigned me to do. If he tells you to build an ark, build that ark. If he tells you to follow me, I don't know where you're going, follow him, don't know where you're going. Just pick up that rock and take that giant down. Pick up that rock and take that giant down. If he says, just leave your things and follow me, then leave your things and follow. If he says, march around the wall and then shout, then do just that. Look up. Our heroes of faith and the things that God told them to do, and they just did it, even when it didn't make no sense. They took a stand. We got to take a stand tonight and every other night and every day. We have to make a determination in our mind. We're not going to bow down. I don't care what it looks like because it's going to get funky. It really is. But we are assigned for this time. We're built for this. You think Ford is built tough. You built tougher. Even if you don't know it, you got strength in you that you haven't even tapped into yet. You've been formed and fashioned for such a time. And do not give in to fear, doubt, and all this other stuff that's going to try to come on you. I saw, you know, a taste of it during when the COVID first hit. People was like Chicken Little. Whoa, the sky has fallen. Their heads was chopped off. Right? Like a chicken with their head chopped off. And people was pitted against one another. People was you, if either you for the vaccine, not for the vaccine. If you for the vaccine. You didn't get your anti-vaxxers and you don't care about your community. And other people saying, well, you got it here because you're a puppet and you're a sheep. It was crazy and chaotic. Now, Biden said, oh, the pandemic's over. Now, that was for what? And they're saying, oh, if you, whether you got the vaccine or you didn't get the vaccine, you can treat it the same. You don't even have to quarantine and all this other crazy stuff. But when we was in the thick of it, people were scared. Some people got the vaccine out of fear. Some people got the vaccine because maybe they felt led to get it. But there was a lot of division and chaos. Imagine how it's going to get when things get really, really bad, how much division and chaos. You got to take a stand what God tells you to do. You got to take a stand. Because that's what Terrence and I did during this whole thing. You know, even my, you know, our son and daughter-in-law came and have a chit-chat with us about their stance on the vaccine and all this other kind of stuff. And we heard them out and said, you know, while we appreciate that you took the time to speak to us because we know you did it out of love, we're going to stand on what God has told us to do. And we know that he might have told you to do something different. But that's not what he's told us. And we're taking a stand on that. And they're like, you know, you guys are older, blah, blah, blah. You're going out to the grocery store, this, that, and the other. And we just scared that you're going to catch it and this, that, and the other. And we're like, we're not scared about catching it. God said we wasn't going to. Whatever God has made, you know, told you to do, then you do just that. Make sure that you're not making fear-based decisions. If you're making a decision because you really feel God has told you to do that, then I completely support that. But if you're doing it because you're scared, I can't support that because fear ain't of God. So if you feel led by God to do it, do just that. But as for us, that's not what he told us to do. So we didn't judge nobody whether they got it or didn't get it. We just told everybody do what God has told you to do. Because for some wars, he tells people to go in guns blazing. And for some wars, he tells people to go around the wall and shout. It's not always the same. Vaccine could have been good for somebody's body type of chemistry and makeup, but horrible for ours. You know, there's some people are allergic to certain food, right? Just peanuts ain't bad in itself, but some people can eat a peanut and die. Or some people can eat a peanut and it gives them protein and strength. So it ain't the same for everybody. And a peanut allergy ain't based on your faith. It's just based on your body makeup and your DNA. Because it gives one person strength and it doesn't give the other person strength that could cause their death, ain't got nothing to do with their faith. It's just the way that they're built. So people trying to make it a, well, if you don't got faith if you did this or you do have faith. No, it's just God knows how you made. We can't all consume the same things. If you give me a gallon of milk and a bucket of ice cream, we're going to have a problem. Or somebody else can have that and be perfectly fine and sleep like a baby. Because everybody's different. But we saw all the division that came. Mm-hmm. The fight. People was disinviting people for Thanksgiving. I remember some people telling me, my family said, if I don't get the vaccine, I can't come over for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and all this other crazy stuff. And places were saying, if you know, jobs were firing people if they didn't get it. It was a lot of division. People had things on the line. Some people took a stand and say they felt God told them not to get it, so they didn't get it. They lost their jobs because they took a stand on what they felt God was telling them to do, right? So imagine that on a million. So you got to be willing to take a stand because you're going to be tested. You will be not only tested, but the enemy is going to try to come and rattle your cage. But when you have your faith and you know who you are, you know who you serve, and you know what's going on. You see past the smoke and mirrors of the media, what they're telling you, right? Because they're always going to try to interpret it for you, like, oh, this is what you're seeing. Oh, what you're seeing is this, that, and the other. But you got to be able to look past the smoke and mirrors and know what it is. Because they're always going to try to label something and try to get you. They're always going to try to program your mind to what they want you to think it is. But when you know what it is for real, you can move accordingly. Let's do a collective prayer and then start praying over callers. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, very grateful for another day and an opportunity to be in this time that you have assigned for us, Lord Jesus. And we are so grateful that you love us, that you are a God who speaks, a God who prepares, because we already know what's going on based on your word. And you prepare us. You teach us how to be strong. You teach us how to be faithful. You teach us how to be joyful. You teach us how to not be affected by the things that are surrounding us, but to be able to have peace because of who we serve and who resides in us, because you are a good God. And Lord, we just ask tonight that we have the boldness to take a stand, that we will not bow down to the things that try to get us off track and off course, that we only bow before you. We're not bowing to fear or the things in this world or people's mentalities or what they're going to say, the naysayers or the people try to label us and call us this, that, and the other because of things that we believe and stand for. We're not going to bow down to those things. Help us to be bold and strong in our faith and our faith in you. Help us to operate in joy. Help us to understand that we are blessed and highly favored. We are protected by you, Father God. Help us to know that and to trust that when the shaking goes on, that we're not going to fall. Mm-hmm. We might lose our balance, but we're not going to fall. Help us to just keep our eyes on you so that we can walk on water, so that we can do the miracles, so that we can defy the odds. And we just thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for your revelation, Father God. We thank you for the unlocking of mysteries, for you making things very plain to us, for the things that you are revealing to your body. And I thank you for this network, Lord Jesus. Continue to bless it and the people who are attached and assigned to it. Use us as a, we might be a small spark, but a small spark can produce a mighty, mighty flame. And help us to do that, to set this world on fire for Christ. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's good.
Got anything to add, my dear? All right, let's start taking our callers here. Let me prepare myself. Hold on one moment. All right. I had to get my notepad out. I just wanted to make sure so I don't want to miss anybody. First caller is 502-548. Who are we speaking to tonight?
Well, this is Greg up in Kentucky.
Hey, Greg.
Hey,
how
Greg.
Are you tonight?
What's up?
You good, man.
Very good.
You got it.
Very good. Living and loving life in organized chaos. You know how it is.
Absolutely.
It's our bond. It is what it is.
That's definitely the bond. Let's pray. Let's pray, Greg.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the moment, Lord. We thank you for Greg, Father God. We thank you for the fight. We thank you for the soldier in him, the warrior in him, the king, the chief, the true leader in him. Oh, we just thank you for revealing us. He likes to plan like blueprints to getting something done, like steps, instructions, step by step. To getting something done that God has assigned to you, because it's something that needs to be shared, but yet it's something that not only needs to be shared, but something that has been lived, you know, something that has been experienced, because your experience is what really is what's going to draw so many people to hear what you have to say. Because a lot of us, we have similar experiences with things, but a lot of us have different ways that we've kind of tackled the experiences. But yours are are going to be like very intriguing to those that have had similar experiences because their outcome was okay, but not like yours. It's just something different about how you did it. And God is prepping you for sharing that because that alone is what's going to really draw more people to wanting to know who Jesus is, wanting to get under the authority of the Holy Spirit and to get under and fall in line with the will of God for their lives and the lives of others. I see like you're really sharing the importance of like ownership, the importance of like owning what you do or owning what you did do. Because Satan, he will take a situation and he will try to confuse you to the point to where you will miss out very intricate details, real things that happen, but just like you just can't come to grips that it happened. And so you kind of create like your own story, kind of create like your own outcome of how something occurred in your mind. But God is going to use you to really teach people to own it and to really ask God to reveal to them what it is that they did or didn't do. Because so quickly, people always want to blame others for the situations. And a lot of times, it's not about blaming anybody for anything, because at the end of the day, it's all about God getting the glory. Whether we make the right decision or the wrong decision, you know, when we turn to God, God will work things and he will adjust things to still work for your good and for him to still get glory out of it. And that's what leaders need to be able to do. Leaders need to really be able to own it. Even when they have delegated certain things to others, even though you delegated something and put somebody else in charge of something, if it goes wrong, it still falls back on you. You still have responsibility. You still have some skin in the game on it, because certain things wouldn't happen if you hadn't said it. So teaching leaders to really stand upright and walk upright. I see God really using you to do that. Agree. Really, really soon. And that's what I got for you.
Amen. Well, we just thank you right now for Greg. Well, we thank you for just the boldness. It's one thing to lead, but it's another thing to be a bold leader, unafraid to say what needs to be said. Despite how people may take it, not in the spirit of well, I don't care if I sin, but in the spirit of this just needs to be said. So we thank you, Lord, that he says what needs to be said to those that you have assigned to him, that he's unafraid to have the tough conversations, the uncomfortable conversations, because sometimes, like Taryn said, if people want to shift blame and they don't want to take accountability. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to use him to make people accountable and to leave them without excuse so that they are in a position to make the change. Because so many people are stagnant because they feel like they don't recognize that they are part of the problem, and so they're not doing any work to change, which means that things remain the same. But we thank you, Lord, that you're going to use him to have those conversations and let people know their place and their situation, so that they now are armed and equipped with knowledge and understanding so that they can do with that as they see fit. If they want to change, they'll seek change. If they want to have a pity party, they'll have a pity party. But that's not Greg's concern. It's just telling the truth. so that they're free. So a person can be in prison, and somebody can unlock the doors and open the bars, and though they are free, they still choose to remain in the cell. That's not our problem. We freed them. So if they don't want to operate in the freedom, that's on them. So thank you, Lord, that you take that mentality that I'm going to tell the truth, and what you choose to do with the truth. While I hope that you choose to operate in freedom, I'm not going to concern myself with that. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm not going to give it time that it doesn't need. I'm going to do what I'm assigned to do by telling the truth in love and helping you to be equipped to move forward if that's what you choose. So we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Greg, I see you like people are standing on the side of the road, right? Because they've run out of gas.
Yeah.
And they're just, they're like somewhere remote, like places don't, you know, nobody drives by there. They're just on this lonely highway, just pulled over on the side of the road. The tires are fine. Everything's good. They're just out of gas. And God's going to use you to like bring a spiritual tank of gas to put it in their car. And it's up to them if they want to now continue. Some of those people will still sit on the side of the road lamenting and complaining. And some people will use the gas to get to where they got to go. Like, that's the way I saw it with you having these conversations with people and being bold in leadership to tell people, hey, you know, it's you. Because that's sometimes tough to tell a person. I've had to have that conversation before with a lady that I was working with, and she was telling me she thought she was cursed and this, that, and the other. And she, I mean, she just went on and on and on. And, I mean, it was just like the Book of Lamentations in human form. I was just like, oh, my. And
as they say, the emperor does not like to be told he's naked.
Right. Come on. And I had to let her know, you're not cursed. You got a bad mentality. Like, it's you. It's what you, it's how you operate. It's what you do. And when I tell you, her mouth fell to the floor going 100 miles per hour, because that's not what she was expecting. She wanted me to pat her on the back and say, oh, poor baby, you know, the big bad world is just so evil to you. And come on, let's have some tea and crumpets with this pity party that we're having. You know, let me have some tea tears, right? Like, let's have some wine with, you know, some cheese with the wine that you're giving. Like, she wasn't expecting that. And I told her, it's you. It's you. And she didn't want to hear it. She did not want to hear it, and, you know, it's like, well, you know, it is what it is. Now that you are equipped, you know, you can do what you want to do with that, and that's what God's going to use you to have some of those type of conversations. Some people are really stagnant because, you know, they're not operating in truth. It's like they're living in some sort of world of pure imagination. It's like La La Land. It's Delusionville. Like, they don't operate in the truth, and God's going to use you to tell them the truth, and some people will accept it. Some people will be like Paul when those scales fell off, you know, and some people will just, they're committed to the lies, and they're going to stick around until death do them part to the lies. But it takes a certain boldness to be able to tell people, hey, I know that you've been blaming, you know, your mom all these years, or your grandma, or this event that happened in fourth grade, or, you know, this, any other, but no, it's you and the way you've been processing and the way you've been viewing things, and you've been seeing things incorrectly, you know, because sometimes people really do see things incorrectly. You know, I had a coworker, Terrence and I were just talking about this too. I had another coworker, her grandfather had just died, and she was having a very tough time with it. And so the job that I was at was a very stressful job, and we all had a workload, and we were all responsible for our own workload. Like, if you took off from work or anything, like, there was no Calvary to come. It was on you. So when you took off, wherever you left, you came back to it piled up. And we were going to get some time off from work, which meant that we were going to have some pileups. And management told us all to, like, back each other up so that when one person was gone, the other person kind of stepped in so that the pileup wouldn't be so bad. Well, me and another girl on our team decided that we would not ask her to back us up because she was already dealing with the stuff with her grandfather. So we thought we would be nice. We would take turns backing her up, and then we didn't ask her to back us up. We chose to back each other up, even though we would be backing some of her up too. So we were kind of taking on triple the load, but that didn't matter to us because we wanted to make things as easy for her as possible. Well, come to find out, months later, she had been going around telling other coworkers that we were mean to her and we were treating her bad and all this other kind of stuff. So I asked her, well, why did you say that? And she said, well, when it was time to back people, you guys didn't even bother to ask me. Like, you guys backed each other. You just kind of shut me out. And I'm like, what? We didn't ask you because you were dealing with the death of your grandfather. You were grieving, and we were trying to be considerate. We were trying to be a good friend to you and not have you deal with all the other stuff on top of it. So here she was stewing in her juices all this time, not only stewing in her juices, mad at us, but telling anything with ears that knew us how mean and cruel we were to her because we were treating her bad and shutting her out. And that wasn't the case. And when in reality, we were giving her grace and love and consideration. And so that's how some people's whole lives are. They are the perpetual victim. And even when people are trying to do good to them, they flip it and make it something negative. They have no ability to see, like, oh, maybe they didn't tell me that because I was grieving and I was having a tough time. No, they're just so mean. They're cool. They hate me. And even though we never were mean to her before, we considered her a friend, not just a work friend, but an actual friend. So the whole thing was just completely nuts in my opinion.
Assumptions.
Yeah.
False,
so it's like, exactly. And God is going to use you to, there's people who operate their whole lives like this, and they're not winning and they're not succeeding in the way that they feel they should. And it's them. And God's going to really use you to have those tough talks and say, hey, you know, I hear you, but it's your mental, your mentality stinks. It's the way you process. You're processing it very wrong. You got the wrong filter on. So all this extra stuff, this crud is coming to you because your filter is not clean. Like, you're filtering it through past pain, hurt, paranoia, whatever you got going on, but that's why you're jacked up. And some people are going to accept it, some are not. And that's on them. And God doesn't want you to get stuck on that. To like, oh, they took it and they're doing good, or oh, they're not, you know. I used to get stuck on that. When God would tell me to prophesy over people at random before I could do it all the time, I will be stuck on if they heeded the words of my prophecy or not. And God told me, look at yourself like the delivery driver. Like, you leave the package, you go. He said, the delivery driver is not sitting around waiting to see if you took it, if you opened it, if you used it properly, if you read the instruction. That's not their concern. Their job is to just give the package. Once they know the package is where it's supposed to be, they get in their truck and they're gone. They know they did their job. And that's what he wants you to do when you have these conversations with people. You just give them, you deliver the words, and that's it. What they choose to do with it, that's not your concern at all. You wish them well, you pray for them, and you go about your business, because that's the way the enemy will try to get you caught up. Did they take it? Did they accept it? Maybe I should follow up. Maybe I should really tell them, you know, God wants them to win. Maybe I could. No, I gave you the truth and love. And God loved you so much that in your brokenness, he sent me to have a candid conversation, even though your family saw it and your friends and everybody saw it, but everybody was too afraid to say something, but he sent me to do it, and that's it. And I'm going about the next mission. I'm not going to get caught up on what you choose to do. That's your life. When you die, you ain't going to stand before me in judgment. So do what you wish. But it's an amazing thing. People need the truth. And we live in a society where people just be lying. They just be lying. I mean, for no reason. Person could just be looking like something the cat dragged in. Oh, man, you look so amazing. No, you don't. You don't look amazing. You look like something the cat dragged in. But people go along with it, right? Look at you. Look at you just working it. What are you working? But that's the society we live in. People just lie for no reason. Nobody says, you know, you look terrible today. Or what's going on with you? Everybody says, oh, you look so great. Oh, man, you're losing weight. You look like you're on a great diet. They don't say you look sick or whatever the case may be. Like, people are conditioned right now to lie at every corner, every turn. They're just lying, and they need people. People need people like you that'll tell the truth to say, hey, I see past what's going on. I see you're trying to be strong, and, you know, you don't need people and this, any other, but no, you're broken, and you're this, any other, and God wants to heal you, and blah, 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 blah. People need that. So it's a blessing. It could be irritating to have those conversations, but it's needed and it's so necessary. So just I praise God for it. I thank God for you and your life and your boldness to set people free, because that's what you're doing. You're setting people free.
Yeah. I'm kind of in that at work right now. It's like I have a tremendous list of things that the company needs to know, but they don't want to hear it. And what little I've shared, they have said I'm making excuses. They don't want to see the reality of the mistakes of their decisions and how it's affecting ourselves. And I just got put on a performance improvement plan because they said I wasn't doing well enough. I've been there barely a year. I've had no training because I didn't have a boss for the first 6 months. I kind of had to figure it out myself. We were at it's over $230,000 deficit when I took over. Actually, it was months after I took over. We're still at $230,000 under. We're $60,000 under now, and they wrote me up, said it wasn't good enough.
Wow.
Did not say, man, we appreciate you pulling us out of the hole. They said, it's not good enough. You got me 3 months. They gave me 3 months, 90 days to close that $60,000 or they're going to fire me.
Wow.
Needless to say, that hit me kind of wrong.
Yeah, I don't think I would have took too kindly to that, Noe.
I didn't. I had that moment, that lightheaded moment, and I was fortunate that God allowed me to hold my tongue. I didn't say anything. I think my boss was upset because I wasn't responding, but I was at that point where, and I couldn't tell him. I'm like, you do not want me to respond right now.
Right.
You don't want to hear
the
truth.
Grace is in my silence.
I don't know. It's been obviously a huge subject of my prayer here lately, and I don't know. You know, do I stay? Do I go? You know, I've prayed about that, and I don't know. I don't know what my next step is, but I just don't know. I have all the truth written out. I just don't think they want to hear it.
Yeah, and that's on them. You know, and they could fire you if they want, but they can't control nothing. You know, they're a resource.
No.
And, I've been in your
they're
position.
Not, yeah, they're not my source.
Yeah, they're not. They're a resource. I was literally in that same position, and your organized chaos brother here was in a similar situation to that, right, where both his bosses told him something that he absolutely did not like, and he was silent, and one of them picked up on it and had a chit-chat with him, but, you know, we vent to each other, so, you know, he's telling me what's going on. I'm like, they must have heard you, like, blow off your resume or something, like, because they tried to get themselves together in his case. But I was in your same situation before, where there was, like, stuff going on, and I've always been one to tell the truth. I'm a confrontational person. I'm not combative, but I'm confrontational, and I say what needs to be said. I've always been like that at every corporation I've ever been at, and I'm letting the owner know, you know, some things that were going on that was illegal, to tell the truth. It was completely illegal, and I'm like, if you know, certain organizations that regulate your company catch wind, you're done, right? And first he was acting like he wanted to hear it, and then he was like, yeah, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to close the holes. I'm going to do this, you know, saying, you know, whatever, just to get me to shut up and get out of his face. And I thought at the time he was being sincere. Well, I'm seeing if the stuff is still going on. So we have another chit-chat. And he basically told me to mind my business, and he was going to do what he wanted to do, and he didn't want to hear it. Then he starts coming after me, right? I ended up getting fired from that job. First time in my life and last time that I've ever been fired from a job. And when I tell you that God blessed, because I was like you, I was really ticked when he basically told me it was his company, he was going to do what he wanted to do with it. I'm like, okay, well, you could have said that the first conversation. Like, when I brought it to your attention, you could have said, I'm fully aware of it, and I run my business how I see fit. Now go back to your desk and get back to work. I would have respected that instead of you sitting there like, oh, my gosh, what? This is going on. Yeah, I'm going to do what needs to be done. And then when I notice it's not, you know, being done, then you want to tell me, well, mind your business. So I'm like, okay, Lord, do I quit? Because this is unethical and I don't want no parts of it. Do I stay? Like, what do I do? And the Lord said, you just do what needs to be done and you keep saying what needs to be said. Well, ended up getting fired. And the next job that I ended up working was paying me like triple.
Yeah.
What I literally didn't skip a beat. Like, came in one day, he was like, you know, need to have a chit chat with you. Told me it wasn't going to work. I was like, okay, cool. I was ready to go. Then he was mad that I wasn't responding, that I wasn't reacting to the fact that he said this isn't going to work. Okay, you said it's not going to work, so I need to get, I got food. My food's getting cold. I bought breakfast this morning, so that's more concerning to me than the fact that you just fired me, because I know who I serve. You don't have no power over me. You have no control. Like, God put me under you for whatever reason. I think it was to get a license that I ended up needing for the next job that he ended up charging me for. But I didn't skip a beat. So just keep doing what you feel led to do, telling the truth, do your best. They fire you, so what? You walk out with your head held high like, well, I did my best. And you know what's funny is that with this guy, I ended up knowing somebody who was trying to connect with him later on, try to forge like a business relationship with him. And she let it out that she knew me. And he told her that he had not been able to keep employees since the time that he had fired me. He's like, it's so weird. Ever since, you know, from the time I let her go, I can't keep nobody. Like, I can't keep an employee. Like, the job that I had, he couldn't keep a person in that position from the time he fired me. This man was not a believer or nothing. He didn't really correlate it, but he just kind of picked up on it. She's like, he kind of like, you know, now that I think about it, ever since I fired her, like, I haven't been able to keep employees since I fired her.
Mm-hmm.
So let them folks do what they do. You don't bow down. You just do your best. Break yourself trying to close that amount of money, because I don't know if that's feasible to do in 90 days or it's not feasible to do in 90 days. You just do what can be done. Because if that job fires you, I'm telling you, God will bless you. That me getting fired from that job was the best thing that happened to my career, getting fired from that job. It was the best thing. I could have did a Toyota kick in the air. I was so excited. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And I needed money. I needed my job at that point. I really did. I really needed the income. So I thought. But I'm like, Lord, I need you. So you know what I need. And like I said, did skip a beat. Ended up getting another job. Didn't even apply for the next job that I got. The person came to me. I didn't apply for that job. So don't stress it. And even though I know it could be stressful, especially when you're doing your best and like you said, you don't have any proper training, didn't have a manager, you know, they're not equipping you properly to be successful, but they want you to just be a rock star with absolutely no equipment. Like, come on. So I know it could be frustrating, but that's who God has put over you as far as authority. So you don't do anything that's ethical, but you recognize that this is the authority that God has put me under. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he put them under that authority. So even when it came time to eat that bad meat, the meat that was sacrificed, they didn't undermine the authority. They asked, hey, can we eat the vegetables? So they still respected the authority that they were under. And that's what you do. You just remain respectful and do what you can do and know that whatever they do is what they do. Because if they do you wrong, they're going to pay for that. I never wish any bad on that owner, even though he ended up charging me for the certificate that I got or the certification that I got, but I wasn't supposed to pay for it, but he took it out of my final check. I called him about it, and he was like, oh, well, we felt you should pay for it. So I'm like, okay, it is what it is. I'm not going to fight you on that. You know, fired me unjustly, whatever. But God took care of him. I never wished him no harm. I prayed for him, wished him the best. And found out that the company was struggling, you know, afterwards. Couldn't get right. So let them folks do what they do. That's their seed. They're going to be accountable for that.
Yep.
People, companies, all that. Everybody's accountable to their seeds. And they can't stop the blessing that God has on your life. That's what they can't do.
Yep.
Now, they can take away that job, but they can't take away your blessing because the blessing goes with you. God very well may have you at that company to bless it because of the anointing and the blessing that's on your life, and they get rid of you, they're going to get rid of that. Your presence might be the only thing keeping them afloat. So don't worry about
it. They're huge. $16 billion company. It's more than me, but I can tell you that they, you know, if their viewpoint is, well, he's not getting it done, so we'll replace him. They can't replace me quick enough because they don't pay well enough. And they also, a new rep coming in, he's not just going to walk into customers and get business. I build loyalty very quick with my customers. And you know, if they find out that the company fired me, they'll go another direction just because out of loyalty to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll lose. They will 6 months from, you know, if they let me go 6 months from that time, they will be worse off than they were before.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm rather certain of that. So, I sell paint and body supplies, and one of my customers is getting ready to buy a paint system. And if I told him that they may fire me, he would just say, never. He said, stop, don't. I promise you, he would say, I'm not buying anything from them if they're even thinking about getting rid of you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know he won't be taken care of. I'm leery of letting him put that system in now because if he, you know, if I'm not there, there's not going to be anybody to take care of him. My boss has no idea. He's never worked in the paint industry at all. I've been painting cars since I was 18. He worked for a Scott's Turf, the grass company. He has no idea what he's doing. So it's been a tough road. I was better off before he came when I had no manager.
Wow. Yeah, it's crazy how these corporations will work. Sometimes they'll bring somebody in with absolutely zero background or understanding of what it is. How can you manage me when you don't even know what I do? I could just be throwing confetti in the air and you would have no idea that I'm not supposed to be doing
it. I'm telling you. There's not a person above me in this hierarchy that's ever done what I've done. And they make the decisions every day for my life and for people that own and operate body shops. And none of these people have ever worked a day of their life in a body shop.
That's crazy.
How are you going to make decisions that affect me and those people when you have absolutely no concept whatsoever of how it works?
Yeah. That's always been my gripe with corporate.
Same.
And I've seen it in every industry, like every corporation
Same.
I've worked with. It's the madness where you're like, we're a technology software company, but we've got a McDonald's manager that's going to have no background in technology software, but, you know, because he's managed before, and it never works. All management is not the same. You have to have knowledge of what's going on. Like you said, how can you make key decisions for people when you don't even know how things work? Like, it's insane.
Absolutely.
It's absurd. But I see it every time. It's always been my gripe.
Absolutely. But I don't want to bog you down with any. I've taken enough time. I want you to get to other people. But love you guys. Appreciate you. Pray for you too. So, good words.
Love it too. It's gonna work out. We get it. You know, we've been there. So Terrence was there today, like, you know, like finger on the trigger there, like, you know what? But he calmed himself and kept pushing and plugging along, and that's what you do. And you just let them folks, don't even worry about that. Let them people do what they do. You do what you do. You got a job to do.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, because you work for God. And they just benefit.
Yep.
So
yeah, absolutely.
It's gonna work itself out though. But if they do let you go, so you'll end up better, and they'll put themselves in a worse position. People want to shoot themselves in the foot. Let them. You know, let them shoot themselves in the foot. That's for them.
Yep. Yep, and that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. I know it's gonna work out. We're gonna continue to pray for you, and we're gonna pray for everybody that's dealing with that. Work stuff and corporate stuff, you know, we get it. I thank God I'm not in it anymore, but I had worked corporate from the time I was 19 until the time I was 42. And it's the same stuff, you know, different company. So I get it.
Yep.
It's like it's a true rat race, and it's pure insanity. And you have to really know how to navigate your way through it to keep you, keep your sanity, but it can be done. But yeah, we're going to keep praying for you about that, and just know God has your back.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. So whatever they say, keep your calm, your cool. Like you said, keep your silence. Sometimes the silence is the grace, saying nothing. Mm-hmm. You already know you're going to blow your top. I've had many times like that in meetings where, because I have a mouth, I'm very choicy with my words, and I don't mince them. And there's been plenty of times where I've had those chit chats, and I just sat there silent. And they're like, "You got something to say?" And I'm like, "Nope." And that speaks volumes, because I always got something to say. So if I'm not saying something, it's because I know what's going to come out of my mouth. It's not what you want to hear. So your ears are going to be on fire. And then I don't care. When I get to that point, I do not care. So that silence has really been, I'll be in my mind like, Jesus, be a muzzle, because I'm about to serve these people. Be a muzzle, Lord, and he always has been. So you just be silent when you need to be silent. Speak when you need to speak. But I'm telling you, it rattles their cage when they're trying to threaten you or give those, like, veiled threats, and you're just sitting there like, okay. It drives them nuts, because they're like, wait, why aren't you getting scared? Because I don't care.
Yeah.
Cause God protects me, because God is my source, your resource. You're not the last company on the planet. Like, there's other places. So, but yeah, we're gonna keep praying for you about that, and we know it's gonna all work
for sure.
For your good.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Greg, we love you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Love you too. Yes, all right, ma'am. Good. Y'all have a good one. Thank you.
You too, man. Yeah, before we start praying over other people, let's do a collective prayer about corporate America. Jobs, because I get it. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, thankful that you are our source, Father God. We know that all these companies, these places that you place us, are resources, and help us, Father God, to learn how to navigate in these jobs, right, in these positions, and to not operate in fear, not to bow down when they're trying to tell us to do things that are unethical, not to stretch ourselves when we don't need to be stretched, but we do the very best that we can do, despite our personal feelings, because we know that we're in position as a representative of Christ. So we're not doing it for the accolades, for the acknowledgement. We are doing it because we represent you and because our names are attached to it, and we want our name to be attached to excellence. So help us to do the very best that we can do, and help us to be effective, not just for the benefit of the company, but for the benefit of the people that are part of the company, that we are on assignment. So even though we're there to work a job, to work a certain position, and each position has its own set of responsibilities, we're there representing you too. And so help us to help the company and to help the people individually on a personal level. And help us to know that you are the source. No job has the ability to make or break us. They don't have no power. They have no power. We are the benefit. They benefit because we're there. So it's their loss. If they were to fire us or lay us off, it's their loss. And help us to make moves not based on emotion, not even based on treatment, but based on your command. That's how we make our moves. And we trust that every move we make is taking us to greater levels. We thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So let's be encouraged. I have been fired from a job once. God bless me. I've been laid off from a job. God bless me. Anytime God has told me to quit a job, God's blessed me. So I've seen it all. And never once has that lack of job stopped anything. Never once. Every single time, it God elevated me. Every single time he elevated me. So be encouraged tonight, because I get it. With these jobs, and they got all these people talking about, oh, the economy, and it's not a good time to quit your job, and all this other crazy stuff. That's the world, right? That's advice for them. We don't operate on advice. We operate on wisdom as a body of Christ. So if God is telling you to leave a job, and the economists and all these people are saying, oh, it's not a good time to leave a job, we gonna do what God says to do. If he's telling you to stay put, and the rumors are that they're about to do mass layoffs, you stay put, because that's how we make our moves. We make our moves based on what God tells us to do, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. right? So you have the power within you to keep your joy, even when they're not treating you right, even when they're not recognizing you, even when, no matter what's going on, because I've been in every one of those circumstances and situations. And God kept me, and he'll keep you too. So, okay, we're running low, but we are obedient. We do what God tells us to do, and we know Greg needed that tonight. Amen. Next caller here is 919-292. Who are we speaking to?
Hello. How y'all doing? This is Shaquilla calling from North Carolina.
Hey, Shaquilla. How are you tonight?
Hey, Shaquilla.
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Doing good. That word for Greg is for you, too, as far as these jobs.
Yeah. Yes, it definitely was.
This is for you, too, that you don't, that you make a move with a job when God tells you to make a move. Don't let these employees, employers, bosses, coworkers, don't let them rattle you. God
Amen.
Is the source.
You're right.
God is the source. Because they'll try it. You know, they'll try to say, oh, if you don't do this, then I'm gonna do that. Okay, I'm gonna do what is right, and I don't care what you do. I don't give it no thought, no concern. Do what you feel you must.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the mentality. Do what you feel you must. Terrence is a witness that I have never let a job, since the time you've known me, and I've never in life let a job sit there and tell me what they're about to do. So where it makes me make a move, I do not care. I don't care. Because I know who I serve. I've had jobs threaten and say, oh, you don't do this. I don't care what you do. And I let them know politely. Do what you feel you must. That is entirely up to you what you feel you need to do. And I get that. And I understand that you're saying if I'm going to do this, that you're going to do that. I have full acknowledgement and understanding. We have a meeting in the mind. So do what you feel you must. And never skip the beat. I've always shined at every single job. Last job that God told me to quit, that got me completely out of corporate, I was number two with the company. And half the time, I did not do what they told me to do. Because it wasn't ethical. Well, it wasn't right. I did what was right. I did what needed to be done, which is why I excelled at it. So don't let no job rattle you. Don't let it stress you. Do not let it stress you. Don't even speak it. Oh, these people stressing me out. No, these people are challenging me. These people are teaching me something different. These people are teaching me how to be effective. These people are teaching me new ways on how to deal with people. These people are showing me how to overcome obstacles. Change the way you even speak about their job. Don't say them people stressing you. They're not. They're sharpening you. That's what they're doing. They're training you on how you run things when you're in that position. That's what they're doing. Don't speak that negativity. People say, oh, you're this job.
Right.
Yeah, my nerves. Whew. You say, oh, I hate to hear that. This job is challenging me too. That's it. It's a challenge, but challenge accepted because I got Christ in my corner. I don't know who tag teaming you, but I know who tag teams me. It's Christ. Because when I'm weak, he's made strong. So I just tag him. Tag, Lord, you're it. It's time for me to be strong because I ain't got the strength for these people today. So I'm going to let you go on to be strong through me. I'm going to be strong through you. Change the way you speak because God is preparing you in everything. And he uses everything to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is being used.
It's true.
You'll be like, I'm wasting my time at this place. They don't want to promote me. They don't want to pay me right there. It's a preparation.
Mm. Patience be tested.
Man, patience.
Attitude be tested.
Come on.
Mm. What you speak is being tested.
All of it.
The Lord be trying to get you to really govern your thoughts and be intentional on what you're thinking about. And not all the time saying what you're thinking, unless it lines up with what God is saying, then you say that. But it's some adjustments. It's things that that God uses to get us to become better versions of who we are, to grow in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we grow in faith, we grow in wisdom. And so we begin to move differently. We see things differently. We speak differently. And we live differently. And we will experience things differently.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be intentional about our lives. We have to be intentional about our futures.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing the word of God and knowing the tricks of the enemy prepares us. So when we see it, we know what to do. We know how to deal with it. You know, something, you know, you wipe it up, you get it up. You know, it's certain things that we learn along the way. Drop something on the floor, pick it up, you know. Grass needs to be cut, you know. Things that's dirty need to be cleaned. So these things we learn. And so even when it comes down to our faith, God is, he allows things to happen even when the enemy's intentions are to destroy you or to kill you. God still will use those situations in working for your good when you recognize things. Like, oh, okay, I've been sitting up here tripping. You know, when you come to your senses, it's at that moment, then you open up the gateway for the Spirit of God to move and come in and change things. So really keep an eye on yourself during this time and make sure that you're being intentional and being conscious and not being proactive and not reactive. Not just mm-hmm. reacting to everything that goes on, but being proactive and not allowing these things to affect you in a way that's not going to be beneficial. And through your experiences, it's going to sharpen you and help you to coach others, to train others, to teach others, to help others. It's greater than you. The more you lessen yourself in a situation and and you increase God, the better it gets. Because it can even still be rough, but you get through it because you're shifting the weight where the weight needs to be shifted. And so we'll cast it all on the Lord, and it'll definitely work out.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely work out. That's what I got.
Yeah. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for Shaquayla, Father God. We thank you for the taming of the tongue and the shifting of the perspective that teach her how to, even when things are negative and feel negative and it's even when the intent of it is not for our good, teach her how to turn it around with the way she speaks, how to flip it and how to disarm the weapons that the enemy tries to use. Because your word says no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Sometimes we have a hand in that because you teach us how to disarm the weapon and teach her how to shift her thinking to how to view everything to benefit her, how everything is working for her. To have that mentality that now you work for me and this is what you're doing for me. Instead of looking at it like, oh, you're trying to come against me. No, you work for me. Give her that mentality. To show to help her see how everything is working for her. Even people who try to come against her, even situations that try to come against her, where she says, "Nah, you working for me. This is what I need you to do. You gonna make me stronger. Nah, you working for me. You're gonna make me have more patience. No, you working for me. You're teaching me how to have better discernment with people. No, you work for me. I'm gonna be able to see through things and see with the trained eye now. So you showed me something that I didn't see before, but you work for me because now I can see it." Teacher, the mentality to see things as always working for her, and to speak things to disarm what the enemy's trying to do, disarm it. Let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much. It's been a lot going on, and with the job situation, I just wanted to say, like, you guys were right on point, because I got a new job. Like, it was some stuff going on my old job, and God promoted me to a new position and a new job at a whole – it's still with the same company, but it's in another building. And I have been – I was thinking negative, but today – it stops right now. It stops, because at the end of the day, I know that God has me in this position for a reason. Like, it's some stuff that, you know, a different perspective of things, how I need to, my mentality needs to change, and certain things need to change in me, and God is just training me and equipping me for the next level. And I've been looking at it in a negative aspect, when God is trying to get me to look at it in that positive way, and I know he's going to use it, you know. So I just thank God for you guys. Both of y'all are always on point, and I thank God for the God in you, you know, to just keep on encouraging me, you know, and to continue to stay at the face of God. So I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you both. I pray that God continues to bless you both, bless your ministry, you know, take you to the next level, because we need people like both of y'all. So I just thank you. I just thank kingdom-minded people and people that's seeking after God. And I know that, you know, God using y'all in a mighty way. He's going to use y'all even mightier. So I just thank God for you both.
Thank you. Thank you for your words. When you speak it, I feel the heat of God on me. Like, I can feel the heat of God on my face. And so thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your words and your faithfulness to God, because the kingdom needs you too. And the people that you're assigned to in your new position, they need you.
Amen.
They need you. So you keeping the course is not only for your benefit, because you're going to grow, but it's for these people's benefit too.
That's true.
So, yeah. We thank God for you, and we pray that God continues to bless you and elevate you in Jesus' name, that you feel the protection of the Lord on you and the leading. Like, he's leading you into a wilderness situation, but he's leading you into a breakthrough. He's leading you into destiny. He's leading you into growth. He's leading you into leadership. So we thank you. We speak that over your life. Leadership. And understanding it all works for you, all of it. So you tell it what to do. It doesn't tell you what to do. You tell it what to do. You tell the circumstance what it's going to do for you, because you have the authority. You have the power. You're there as a kingdom representative. So you tell it, no, you bow to me. This is what you're going to do. You're going to help me be better. I don't care what your intent is. That's what you're going to do. So I speak that kingdom-minded boldness in your life, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you both. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you too. Well, we are just about out of time. I'm going to try to get as many as you as possible. Area code and prefix 614-432. We thank you for 614-432. That even the boldness and speaking into the situation that applies to you as well. We really got to speak into our circumstances and know our authority. And I speak the authority of God over your life, and for you to operate in that, to understand that you're no victim, right? You're a victor. You're a victor. And so it doesn't matter what's trying to come at you. You tell that circumstance, you tell the situation what it's going to do, what to do. This is for all of us. We all need to tell it what to do. And I speak that over your life, that you have a full understanding of your authority in Christ and what that means. So, Father, we just thank you for them having that understanding of authority. What authority? Looking up the word authority, walking in authority, operating fully in authority in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 903-918. We just thank you right now for 903-918. We thank you for just having the for soothing the soothing, like the word of God being like a soothing balm, soothing. Like, have you ever cut yourself and it stings? Like, you put the alcohol on it, it stings, it burns, and then you put maybe some peroxide or whatever, and then you sometimes you put a balm on it, right? It could be Neosporin or something else, tiger balm, whatever balm, and it soothes it. So now instead of it like hurting, stinging and burning, it soothes it. It feels better. It feels like it's on its way to healing. It feels like it's going to get better, right? The alcohol just burns, but when you put that balm on it, it soothes. And see the word of God soothing you. Look up the word soothe. I would do it, but I want to get to as many as I can. Soothing, the balm of the word soothing you. So the things that hurt, knowing it's going to be better because the word, you're going to put the word on, slap the word on it. It's going to soothe you. I speak soothing. And thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 225-454. Lord, we thank you for 225-454. But just really shouting in victory and knowing you have the victory. Like, please understand you have the victory. You have it. It's yours. Like, just thank God, praise God in advance for the victory that you have. It's been feeling like you don't have the victory. It's been feeling like it's not going to go your way. It is. It's in disguise, right? Look like a loss, but it's a win. You win, period. I speak winning. I speak justice. I speak things turning around. I speak things in their favor, Father God, and the winning. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 870-415. I thank you for the 870-415 for the clouds lifting and no more confusion. I speak clarity in your mind in Jesus' mighty name. No more confusion. It's like you've been like not able to make decisions because you're not quite sure, right? And or one way you're like, okay, maybe I could do it this way. And then the other way you're like, oh no, maybe this is better. That's confusion. And I speak clarity in your mind in Jesus' mighty name so that you can make sound decisions, not based on feelings, but based on truth and based on what needs to be done, right? No more confusion. I speak clarity right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Next, 225-270. We thank you, Lord, for 225-270 for the sword of your word, the sword. And them speaking the sword, like the word of God calls it, like a two-edged sword. And I see you speaking the word and acting like a sword, right? It removing things that need to be removed, right? And cutting things that need to be cut, like a surgery, right? Sometimes things do need to be cut. When we have surgery, the surgeon has to cut, right? In order for them to perform the surgery so that we can have the ultimate healing that we need. But I see you using the word of God like a two-edged sword, cutting away things that need to be cut away and cutting things that need to be cut to produce healing. So let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 910-709. We thank you for 910-709 for really just getting into the deep with God, the deep things, the deep waters of the word, the deep waters of understanding, unlocking the mysteries. And that takes you really having to get into the deep, right? There's levels to the word. There's levels to understanding. There's levels to the knowledge. There's levels. And I see you getting into the deep things, so that you can really unlock mysteries, things and things becoming very clear to you that are very mysterious to other people. Like how the book of Revelation and just different books in the Bible could be very symbolic because they're in the deep. So you have to unlock it. But I see God unlocking things in you so that you have understanding of deep mysteries and God using you to bring it to light to the body of Christ. So we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. 803-991. We thank you for 803-991. Lord, we just thank you for the unity, having unity with Christ and unity with people, and really that understanding, it's not good for man to be alone, right? And what that means, that there's strength in numbers, right? One could put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000 to flight. That's a big difference, right? So unity in Christ, unity with people. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 334-590. Just got a text from you. That's Jayla and Jamil. Lord, we just thank you for Jayla, Father God. We thank you for really the laying down I see you laying down your wants, laying down your desires, and letting God take over, right? Cause a lot of times we move based on what we want, right? That's how people make moves. But I see you laying that down and really letting God have his way. The laying down, right? We all have to lay down our lives, just like Jesus laid down his life. We all have crosses to bear. But when Jesus laid down his life, he not only gained life, right, because he resurrected, but he gained our lives. I see you laying down your life, your wants, your desires, so that God's wants and desires can reign, and that's going to cause not just for you to benefit, but other people will benefit for you laying down your life. Decisions that you make now, right, because you could make a decision now based on what you want and desire, but now it's blocking what God wants and desires, which affects other people. Just lay it down and let God have his way, because in the future, you'll be so grateful. Like, man, I'm glad I didn't make this decision to do this then, because if I did, I wouldn't be able to be in the position I'm in now. And I see how it not only blessed me, but blessed other people. Let that be done in Jesus' name. And for Jamel, Lord, we just thank you right now for Jamel, for really having an understanding of who he is, right? Not who he thinks he is, but who he really is. Because part of our walk with God is not just becoming, but it's undoing, right? We become who God has assigned us and assigned us from the start, but we undo what we thought or what other people try to box us into. And I see you becoming and undoing all at the same time, becoming and undoing, and you really just having a love for you, a love for you, like having a love for yourself. Not beating yourself up for your flaws and your shortcomings and all that. That's not a God, right? That's not even a God. Loving who you are, flaws, warts, and all. Just loving you because God loves you. There ain't nothing you could do to make God love you anymore. There's nothing that you could do to make God love you any less. God just loves you. And you're becoming. You're becoming and you're undoing all at the same time. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 321-230. We thank you for 321-230. We thank you for really the needing, really understand the needs that God needs you and you need God, right? And you really understanding what that means. Because a lot of times we just think we need God, but we don't understand God needs us too. He needs us. He needs you. Because your purpose, you're formed and fashioned, you've been designed by God. He didn't just make you out of some leftover scraps. Like, he made you out of the best, and he needs you, just like you need him. So thank you for that in Jesus' name, the understanding of the need. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 504-282. We thank you for 504-282. Father God, we just thank you for the understanding the path and the straight and narrow path. And what that means, and sometimes it feels unfair because you see other people doing things, and it don't feel like they're on a straight and narrow path. They're just doing whatever, but you're going to see with your own eyes. You're going to see the reward of the wicked. You're going to be so grateful to God for the straight and narrow, the path that God has you on, the straight and narrow, and the benefits and the win and the victory that you are going to endure because of the straight and narrow. So just trust God. Trust God in the path that he has you on, because he's faithful for your benefit. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Last is 608-960. Lord, we just thank you for 608-960, really for just a preparation season for the overwhelming blessing. God is going to overwhelm you with blessings. Overwhelm you. You're just being prepared. And God is strengthening you, because it's like sometimes God will tell you over and over and over and over and over again certain things about your life, and it don't be like you haven't seen it, right? You haven't seen it. You're like, okay, is this a pipe dream? Is this a fairy tale? Like, what's going on? Right now you're in preparation for what God is going to do, for the overwhelming, overflowing blessing. And everything that you've experienced, everything that you've been through, all the what looks like setbacks, all what looks like it wasn't going to work out, this and the other, it's going to be worth it. All worth it. So we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for hanging on with us tonight. We love you. I'm going to hang up. Call back at 8:45. Hit 1. Get in the queue. Let Randy pray for you. And just there's some amazing things going on in PGN. I'm glad that you guys are a part of it. Love you guys. Until next time, good night.